Never start with the head. The victim gets all fuzzy.
Here's Johnny.
I see them.
Houston, we have a problem.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hello, guys, and welcome to the new film, actually, episode 93 for the 17th of July, 2010. Yes, this is the first of the film breakup, of the whole Geek Actually breakup. So let's see how we go. We're going to try and keep on topic here. I'm David McVeigh. I'm your host, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
We've already discussed this very time.
Yes, but the audio listeners haven't heard it.
Whole new crowd.
The whole point of breaking it up was we have different listeners. So
yep, absolutely. Well,
so just say still tired.
Well, like, I'm still tired, and we will discuss at the end of the show when we're plugging things why I am very
Sounds
tired.
Sounds fair to me. We're also joined by the returning Mirren Lee.
Yay!
How are you, Mirren?
Tired. No, I'm not. No, it infected me. No, I'm fine. Yay, we have caffeine.
Yeah, we have caffeine. Cheers to the caffeine.
Yay.
All right. Okay, we're also joined.
All three glasses. Just on the it's like, yes.
Now, we also are joined by Shane Gregory, still from our tech show, but he's kind of off camera, off to the side there. Hello, Shane.
Just wave your hand in front of everyone.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Talk to the hand. So Shane is sticking around because he's going to be in the after show with us. But for the moment, These are the things.
Yes.
These are our people. Right. Shane has actually not had a chance to catch up with the film, so it's all of this.
You mean was not?
Oh, he was smart enough. All right, so
we'll come back to that.
Let's figure out what we're doing here. This is the Film Actually official movie podcast of the Geek Actually Network. We're going to try and keep our news down this week because we have Mirren on the show, and I'm sure. I should say we actually kept the news down because we were going to have Mirren and Katrina, and we were going to talk about this film that none of us liked very much, and so it was going to be a very long discussion, and I'm sure it's still going to be a long discussion, so we kept news down.
Or we could just go, huh? Why?
But we do have a little bit of news, which we'll go into in just a minute, and then, of course, we are going to review the new Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz film, Night and Day. Unfortunately. Now, Katrina couldn't join us after all. She called this morning, very apologetic. She is ill. She said she will try and hit our chat room at some point. So if you're in the chat room live with us and you see Red Robin, that is Katrina. Yeah. So that is why she'll be jumping in and out of this conversation. All right, we're about 5 minutes behind schedule. We are trying to keep schedules at the moment.
God, control freak.
Oh, it's because of, we got three shows to get through today.
Dude, he's pensive. He's tense right now.
We used to do it for days at a time.
I know.
Now it's like, well, you know what?
The joke is, we still do it for days. We just do it in sections.
Oh, no, you're
all right, so let's talk a little bit of news and say that this is just on the totally coolness factor, and we will put a link up to this. Actually, there's a link in the show notes. When you actually see this for the live chat room, here it is. In China, they have built, out of scrap parts, so out of bits of car, they have built a full-size Optimus Prime.
Okay, you know, even if you're not a nerd, that is pretty impressive.
That is pretty cool.
You guys really, really miss the scary point here.
What's that?
China has just run a line down the Asia, what's it called? The Sea of Asia? The China Sea, and said to everybody, sorry, you can't cross this line anymore. We're starting to flex our muscles. How do you know that Optimus Prime isn't
working?
Yeah.
Oh. Say, how to buzz kill the Optimus Prime geek buzz. I was
just
now, Mirren,
is this a toy?
Mirren, I understand what you're trying to say, but as a geek, I'm not sure whether I'm scared or excited about
that's
that possibility.
Right.
If there's a giant Optimus storming across,
you don't care if you guys are destroyed as long as it's by an Optimus Prime.
If I got killed by that thing, I would die happy.
Thank you, China.
All right, well, so much for Optimus Prime. How about a trailer?
Yeah.
On that note, let's have a look at a trailer. Now,
are you a little worried today about control over
the
show?
I wave all control when Mirren is on the show.
Just another perspective.
All right, this is a trailer that will have absolutely no interest whatsoever to Mirren because she hates both horror and devil related stuff.
Oh, no, I don't have it. Stupid.
Stupid. All right, there you go. That's what I mean.
Is it devil? It's devil. Stupid.
Well, in fact, the movie is called Devil.
Oh!
And I thought, this is one for Josh, though. Let's have a look at this. I actually thought this trailer was kind of intriguing. I want to see more.
Okay. Let's see.
Hey, lady, you gotta sign it.
Do I look like such a threat?
Don't blame me. You got procedures.
You hold that?
I'm sorry.
Thanks for your help.
Don't mention it. This is not good.
Why is elevator 6 in inspection mode?
Oh, come on, man.
What's happening?
Nothing, just relax. What was that? You all right?
You're bleeding.
Oh my god.
It feels like something bit me.
Does anybody have anything sharp on them that might have cut her?
No.
You mind if we search your pockets?
Yes, I do mind. You mind if we search yours?
What was that?
Something's jamming
it. It's stuck.
Any of you
back away from each other now.
Aside from the fact that it says by a story by M. Night Shyamalan, he's not—he's not directing it. He's not writing it. It's just based on one of his short stories.
It's bad enough.
Yeah, I like immediately. That makes me worry that at the end they're going to wake up and like none of them were actually in the room. And they were just having a dream scared together or something. Yeah. Something that just makes the whole purpose of the horror completely useless.
Well, I'm sorry, but there are two phrases that worry me in horror movies that I think, and one is. What's happening? Mm. That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. The other one is, who are you?
Yeah.
Those worry me about cliches.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we know that M. Night likes cliches.
Oh, you're being kind.
And I'm sorry, but the whole five people stuck in a place thing has been done before.
That's true. Look, I just said
look,
that
I'm
the,
not saying
I
that
said it looked
I'm
intriguing.
Not,
all right?
I am intrigued about parts of it. I will give it that much, and I will definitely watch it. But I'm going to say...
But you would watch grass grow.
I mean, would watch a lot of things, yes, and if they're horror-related. But when it's a movie like that, you want to know whether you're going to rip on it entirely or whether it might actually be intriguing.
You like horror, but not rom-coms.
Yep.
It's disturbing.
It walks the very fine line.
Who
walks
are
the very
you?
Fine
What's
line.
Happening?
All right, just as a side note, Moopy-Doo in our chat room has basically...
Moopy-Doo
in our chat room has gone, is backtracking a little bit and has said, being killed by Optimus Prime ranks as high as death by super orgy in the list of best death ever.
Oh, honey, you need to get alive. Oh, dear.
I'm sorry.
I'll send you a girl, okay?
And Northy says about that trailer, looks like someone has been buying movie scripts off primary school students again.
I would have gone with high school, because that's a very high school-esque. Kind of an idea.
That's good. I like that.
All right.
Well, we are talking about M. Night Shyamalan.
That's true.
And the question is why? Why?
All right. From that to this, let's have a look. Edward Norton is not returning for the Avengers. If this has been going on all week, we have both sides of the argument. But recently, just in the last couple of days, Edward Norton himself has now issued a statement.
Oh,
so
he's furious.
Actually, he was actually incredibly civil. He may be furious, but he didn't do the typical Edward Norton thing, which I expected him to do, which was like, fuck you guys, you know?
Well, he's seen what happened to Mel, so he's being careful.
All right, so this all started on July 10th when Kevin Feige, the production executive of Marvel Pictures, came out with a comment and said, "We have made the decision to not bring Ed Norton back to portray the title role of Bruce Banner in The Avengers. Our decision is definitely not one based on monetary factors, but instead rooted in the need for an actor who embodies the creativity and collaborative spirit of other talented cast members."
Like, oh, wow. Someone who can play well with others.
Basically,
instead of Edward.
The Avengers demands players who thrive working together as part of an ensemble, as evidenced by Robert, Chris H., Chris E., Sam Scarlett, and all of our talented casts. We are looking to announce a name actor who fulfills these requirements and is passionate about the iconic role in the coming weeks. Yes, Josh. Before you say anything, can I just say, dick move?
I would actually like to counter that by saying that press release is actually contrary to the actual movie, because the whole point about Bruce Banner
is he's not one
that plays well with others. The whole point of having him in the film would be absolutely perfect. Even if it was on-screen tension, that would wear through into the film.
But Edward doesn't give us on-screen tension. Edward, it's like you said. It sounded like you said someone to betray the role, not portray the role. And I think betray is better.
Look, I think Edward Norton was actually a really good Bruce Banner.
You're an idiot.
He was great in the second Incredible Hulk film.
Dude, absolutely.
And better than Eric Banner.
Well, honey.
No, but more importantly, the character in The Avengers is a character who is part of the group, but always an outsider and always looked against anyway. So the whole point of that doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm sorry. You guys are totally wrong. You need someone who can't act, like Adam West, what's his name? TV Bruce Banner. Oh, my God. My brain's...
Bill Bixby.
Oh, right.
I mean, these people who, you know, everything is done, you know, at the same level, and yet they're not sending it up. And so they're innocuous. You know, we need to put these stars in there that we go, oh, there's Eric Banner. How well is he doing in it? Here's Edward Norton. I just don't think it should be star people like that.
Charlie has just joined our chat room. He's from the Movie Fan House podcast. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
He said, is there really any innocent person in the Ed Norton Marvel thing? I'm thinking no. Yeah. Basically.
And they knew what they were getting with Ed.
Mm. That's right. Well, I think, and then what happened was that they had all the off-screen problems with the Incredible Hulk happening, and basically they've said, with a cast of this many egos, we really don't need somebody to stir the pot. Anyway, this was Edward Norton's manager responded, came out with this press statement, who went through, he said, let me fill in a bit of history, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's actually very long, but basically he said that, you know, they had said we're doing the Avengers, they brought Edward Norton in, he went out to lunch with Joss Whedon, who's directing the Avengers, and apparently they had a really good meeting, and everything was going really well, and then suddenly Marvel called up and said, sorry, we decided to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so apparently it was all moving ahead, and then they've just decided to go in a different direction.
There's no way that Edward Norton would trust Joss Whedon. He doesn't trust anybody. He directs the films he's in, and Joss needs to be left alone.
What was interesting was that that Brian Swordstorm, the manager, basically did, in the very last part of his statement, say, we know a lot of fans have voiced their public disappointment with this result, but this is no excuse for Feige's mean-spirited, accusatory comments. Counter to what Kevin implies here, Edward was looking forward to the opportunity to work with Joss and the other actors in the Avengers cast, many of whom are personal friends of his. Feige's statement is unprofessional, disingenuous, and clearly defamatory. Mr. Norton, talent, tireless work ethic, and professional integrity deserve more respect, and so do Marvel's fans. I actually agree with that. I do agree with the fact that I think Marvel's move was a dick move, quite frankly.
His past is coming back to haunt him. He was even directing American History X when he was doing it, for God's sakes. I mean, let's all remember what this guy is like.
No, look, I'm not even going to go into that.
And he has
that
friends in the film, and he might not be able to play with them now.
Absolutely.
Oh, baby.
We have to come back to what Dave said before, which is that no one is not a guilty party in this.
No, Charlie said that, actually.
Charlie did. The honest truth is that this is exactly what this is. look, Edward, I agree with her in a lot of ways. Like, the one problem that I had with it is I just did not see Joss being able to go, no. Okay, now I need you to go do this, and
to
him
keep
not
keep control
go.
Of him.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Because he is just like that. He wants things his way. Whether or not it works, that's a matter of debate between people. But at the same time, Marvel just always does this. They are like school children when they are dishing out things. It's just they either want it or they don't. Mm. There's no thought process. They're just like, this is what's happening, and then wait for the sea of fans to just
walk all over them. Read Adventures in the Screen Trade again, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's Hollywood. What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd just like to point out that this diatribe has gone on in our chat room. Somebody, Snake Oz, has said Jesse Ventura for the Hulk. Charlie has countered that by saying he ain't got time to get angry.
What about Hulk Hogan? What about Hulk Hogan for the Hulk? Nobody's ever thought.
Have you seen him lately?
Moopy Doo says Jesse Ventura turn into the Hulk, turn you into a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus. These are all Predator quotes, by the way. That's fantastic. Or Snake also said, you slack jaw pussies, this stuff will turn you into a green tyrannosaurus, just like me.
See, the problem is not the Hulk. The problem is
This is the irony and the joke of this whole thing. By all accounts, in the Avengers movie, apparently Bruce Banner has very little screen time. It's all Hulk. Right? And so you sit there
then
and look at it and go,
get a nobody.
He would only be in the film for 10 minutes by the sounds of what's going on.
And it would cost them less.
It would cost less. But are they going with a nobody? No. Apparently they are looking for a name. We've had all sorts of names bandied around. Joaquin Phoenix was bandied around at one point. Theoretically, he's out of what he was doing. And the last...
It really could be something that would bring his career back.
Maybe.
No,
if
he's
would
talking
do it right.
about doing... What did I say the other day? I said Joaquin's career is coming back on. Oh,
this is his documentary thing.
I said he looks like the documentary. It's been done. No, the
documentary. Yeah, it's finished.
And this is new film. I said...
We talked about this on the show a few weeks ago.
It's an iconic
role. Was coming back. Yeah, I forget. He's doing Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan
Poe. Yeah. Now, the other one that's been bandied around is Mark Ruffalo.
I was just about to say, I read today on one of my trade papers that Mark Ruffalo is going to play,
they're all in talks. Nobody has been signed at this point. So.
Well, I know, but that's what
I don't really
saying.
Mind any of those, to be
Mark
honest.
Mark Ruffalo is too, I love him. Yeah, that's right. He's too hippie wet.
He's too wet. Okay, now, last thing we'll say on this is that Edward Norton himself has now come out and made a comment. And I actually say it's a really gracious comment, which I think he's hurt by. But at the same time, he didn't attack, which I think is very different for him, considering,
Since it isn't working for him. And he just
He says, as most of you know, this was actually on his Facebook page. So this is him directly. He says, as most of you know, I don't like to talk much about the business of making movies because it means a lot to me to protect the audience's fullest enjoyment of the magic that films can have.
So
but
in
I
other words, you don't want to know what you do offset.
That's right. But I am so appreciative of the outpouring of support from fans of the Hulk and the Avengers that I feel it would be rude not to respond. So here goes. It seems it won't work out for me to continue playing Bruce Banner for Marvel in the Avengers. I sincerely hoped it would happen and be great for everyone, but it hasn't turned out as we all hoped. I know this is disappointing to many people and makes me sad, but I am very sincerely grateful to Marvel for extending the offer and even more so for giving me the chance to be part of the Hulk's long and excellent history. I really can't thank the fans enough for how much enthusiasm you've sent my way about what Louis and I tried to do in our turn with the legend. It means a lot to me. I grew up with Banner and Hulk and have been a fan of every incarnation. I'm really proud and very blessed to have been one of them and will be thrilled to see him live on through other actors. Hulk is bigger than all of us. That's why we love him, right?
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
No. More importantly, can I just point out that in that statement he says I'm a fan of every version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
I take offense to that because no one is a fan
of
Ang Lee's The Hulk. So on that word alone, I'm saying he's
And I'm
out.
Sorry that was signed Edward's manager.
Awesome.
Edward did not write that.
Bruce Campbell.
No, but he can act.
The
he can
chin?
Act.
The chin would like extend out like in
and,
front of
and
him.
Somebody says, speaking of Bruce Campbell, I think that the main guy from Burn Notice would be a good
No, but he's too good an actor.
And also he's too sure of himself. That's
Banner is supposed to be a weedy little scientist
And what nerd. Think about what you said. You said it's going to be about maybe 10 minutes. If it is, they don't need a star.
Because yeah, I don't
you're
going to
go see a star. Only 10 minutes.
They want a star. Apparently, that is one of the prerequisites. They want a star because they've got all these power names in the cast. So they want a star.
No, they need power names for everything. This is the
I'll give you a prediction that because it's Joss directing it, it will be somebody completely out of left field and not very well known because that's what he does. He discovers great people.
You know
people.
Who it's going to be? It's going to be... dude from Firefly, help me out here.
Nathan Fillion.
Damn right.
No, he's doing Castle. Doesn't matter. He's great.
It'll be like a 10 minute thing. Come on, he loves his star X. And he'll get rid of everybody else that's in the film. Or Alan Tudyk. Yes, thank you. It'll either
Adam
be
Baldwin.
One of those two.
Adam Baldwin
as the Hulk.
No, one who really can't act. Billy Baldwin.
No. Adam Baldwin's not related to the
Hulk. Oh, no.
The one from Firefly.
One of those. What is it? Billy and who's the other one?
Steven.
Let's get Steven involved. I don't even care why.
He'll bring Jesus to the set. All right, let's move away from
right along.
Roman Polanski. And look, in this picture, he's going. How much for the little girl?
I'm on Roman's side.
All right, so Roman Polanski. We're not going to harp on this. Let's just say that after all that's been said and done, the Swiss have rejected the extradition order from the Americans, and they basically said, "Nah, stuff you," and they've set him free. And that basically, the Swiss justice member Eveline Widmer Schlumpf said he's a free man. And they have sent him on his way. And so he has now gone back to France, and I'm sure Americans are going, dang it.
And he's making a film. What did I just read?
Well, he's just released The Ghost Writer.
No, it's an arty film, and it's supposed to be originally shot in Paris, but they're going to in New York, but they're going to set it in Paris or something. I'll have to look it up. Arty films go in one ear and out the other.
Just going to make a throwback here. Charlie from Movie Fan House has said, can we just rotate the Baldwins for each Hulk movie?
Yeah, good one.
God.
Oh, God. All right, that's enough for Roman Polanski. He bores me. All right.
We've been around.
He's Teflon Man.
He is Teflon Man. Let's move straight on and say... I love this picture. Any chance to bring this picture back? This is the Wachowski... I can't say brothers anymore because... One of them, Larry, is now Lana. So they're,
oh, that's right.
So here's the Wachowskis.
Siblings.
Now, the Wachowskis we reported...
Look, I'm sorry. He's still a dude. It's still brothers.
I don't know if he is actually a dude anymore.
Dude, that's fine. He changed the parts. It doesn't change the fact that he was born a dude.
Oh, well, that's a controversial subject for a whole different show.
If Optimus Prime lost, his head, he wouldn't be Optimus Prime. I'm sorry, Peter. When you lose a part, you become something
else. When it drops out, he's robot. Let's move on.
Say that's a discussion for an after show. Let's talk about CN9.
Okay.
What the hell is CN9? Yeah. Okay.
Who are you?
If you remember going back several weeks ago, even almost a couple months ago on Geek Actually, we talked about when we first brought this phone up saying that they had a gay Iraqi war drama in works.
Which is so them.
It is so them. Apparently they have written a film about a gay romance in the Iraqi war.
Oh my
and
God.
And they were
on the Iraqi side or on the American side?
Yeah, I think it's on the American side. Okay. I think it's
stoned on the Iraqi side.
How shocking and controversial.
Don't ask, don't tell.
All right, anyway, so the film now has a title. It's called CN9, all right? Now, apparently CN9 refers to some part of the heart, some part of the...
Ooh, I was thinking dirtier than that.
It refers to some part of the vascular system here. So I don't know. I was hoping that Katrina would be able to shed some light on this. But anyway, the film is casting, apparently, and they have started to shoot cameos, apparently... Huffington, what's her name?
Post, Ariana.
Ariana Huffington has actually shot a cameo for it. And a few
Maybe
others.
Edward Norton can get a part in this.
But apparently they know nothing about it. When Ariana Huffington was asked about it, she said, I don't know, they just put me in front of a screen and asked me questions. And so nobody actually has read this, but apparently they're casting and they are already starting to shoot parts of
it. How very Joaquin Phoenix of them.
Yeah, no, look, I really find this kind of movie just really unnecessary and offensive. It's just like, no, dude, I'm sorry. Okay, there's got to be a point where it's just because it's a gay drama, it doesn't have to be the reason that they make a film around that.
I will reserve judgment on the topic of it. I'll reserve judgment on the story of it and everything else until I've actually seen it.
It may be a medical drama.
Yeah.
About the
When
heart.
They say gay Iraqi right, film, it could be so about very really happy soldiers.
Very happy soldiers. Yeah. In Iraq. Didn't you like Philadelphia? and
no,
broke that moment. Oh, yeah.
I love Philadelphia.
Oh, so you're not opposed to gay movies per se, just in Iraq.
No. Just because the whole concept just doesn't work. Every aspect of
what
this.
What if there
were
gay
me.
Bomb disposal guys? I'm going to die. I'm going to die comfortable.
It's Hollywood. I mean, you know,
it's not
they're
even
bankrupt.
That. It's just the individual aspects. It's just it speaks of just
it's Wachowski.
You put all these things together. It's
expect?
Wachowski's. It's Iraq War, which I'm just so sick of.
My question is Joel Silver producing it?
I hope so.
Because then you'd have gays with big explosions.
Yeah. And big dicks.
let's break up, you know, sort of the way that we normally build films and just have that as a side part to it. It's just, they just happen to be gay and in Iraq kicking ass.
I have a suspicion.
That's what I want to say.
I have a suspicion.
That's
the way that the media has been lately. With the way that
it'll
we've
be
been seeing, the way
tender
that we've
film
been,
about two soldiers that are misunderstood in
need
the Iraqi city,
or
yes,
yes, heart transplant.
I love that. Well done.
Or it's just an Iraqi war film that happens to have this little minor subplot.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Which has a gay couple, and because the media like to latch on to things, they're probably going, they're making the gay film.
Oh,
you know,
God.
it's like the whole iPhone beat up. How everybody's saying it doesn't work, and yet only less than 1% are complaining. You know, it's like. The media has this way
of
turning
stuff. No, but dude, that's
what
I'm saying. That's what I want to see. I just don't want them to go out and change the way they do films and then just make the same film. Just make Brokeback Mountain, Iraq. That's what I fear. No, I'm sorry, but that's what I'm fearing, okay? If they make a movie that's just two guys that happen to be gay and it's just a story in Iraq, I don't care. But if I'm seeing Brokeback Mountain, Iraq, I'm just going to be like, really? Yeah. That's the best you could
okay,
do?
Okay, I got to say right now that we need to drop this subject because our chat room is completely ignoring us.
Well, they're chatting with each other.
They're still going on about the Hulk.
Let it go, people.
Our chat room is, they're now talking about all the lists of brothers who could play Hulks in various films. They're saying Charlie and Emilio could do two different Hulk films. They're saying the Wayans brothers could be different.
Can I just say for the Joss Whedon
Brokeback Desert Flat. Snake, you're a genius.
That's good. Can I just say for the lovers of Joss Whedon, of which I am desperately one, he's at the Melbourne Writers Festival at the end of August, and it's already sold out. He's doing the keynote speech.
But he's in our country.
But he's still going to – there's still room in the – if any of you are in Melbourne or can get there, there's room in the balcony seats. But I have to say that in general, I'm upset about him doing – well, that's my last word on the Hulk. But I'm upset about him doing the Hulk because I think it's a kiss of death.
He's not doing the Hulk. He's doing the Avengers.
Oh, sorry.
The Hulk is just in the Avengers.
I'm so sick of hearing that, though. Every time you get near the Hulk, you know –
Yeah, no.
I mean,
the Hulk will be a minor part. This is already got – this has got Robert Downey Jr. in it, so
– Oh, Bobby.
It's got Iron Man in it, so –
Oh, that's true. This is the
– This is the Avengers. Got Iron Man, Captain America, Thor – Black Widow, Hulk.
Well,
it's got
I
all
expect
of them.
To see new finds in the stardom circle because that's what he does. He's a great star finder.
That's
true.
Yeah,
and there'll be plenty of sub characters and small characters. That's true. The guy's going to have a budget bigger than God.
And minor roles.
Don't hate
minor
me
roles.
I don't think God has a budget, honey.
Yeah, I don't think he needs one.
Yeah.
figure of speech.
Fair
anyway,
enough. All right, let's do one more trailer here, and then we've got one last piece of news that's actually not on the show notes because it came up late last night. I've just thrown the picture on here, and we'll have a quick look at it. But this is the latest trailer for The Social Network, which is the Facebook movie, directed by David Fincher and written by Aaron Sorkin.
That would be the best part.
And based on the book by Mesrick, The Accidental Billionaires, which is basically a really scathing look at Mark Zuckerberg and everybody. And this is actually one of my hotly anticipated films. And I think this is where you're going to find Oscar buzz. You know how we were talking about Oscar buzz films? Now
so far, there hasn't been many Oscar buzz.
Now they're starting to roll in. I'll make you a bet this gets Oscar nods. All right, here we go. This is The Social Network.
Substantial in order to get the attention of the clubs.
Why?
Because they're exclusive and fun, and they lead to a better life.
People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that? Friends, pictures, profiles. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
Site got 2,200 hits within 2 hours?
1,000. 22,000.
This idea is potentially worth millions of dollars.
Millions?
You stole our website.
They're saying we stole the Facebook.
I know what it said.
So did we?
$1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion.
You're going to get left behind. It's moving faster than any of us ever imagined
get left
it would.
Behind.
Let's sue him in federal court.
I can't wait to stand over your shoulder and watch you write as a check.
You guys were the inventors of Facebook.
You invented Facebook.
Is there anything that you need to tell me?
Your actions could have permanently destroyed everything I've been working on.
We have been working on.
Did you like being a joke? Do you want to go back to that?
Mark!
This is our time.
You're being accused of intentionally breaching security, violating copyrights, violating individual privacy.
Your best friend is suing you for $600 million.
As for the charges, I believe I deserve some recognition from this board.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Which part?
I think Jesse Eisenberg is perfect casting as Mark Zuckerberg.
I'm really interested because, I mean, like, he was such a nice guy in the last film. He looks... Oh, I just love it. Dude, in his face... He just
looks like Zuckerberg. You weren't on the show when we actually showed the sweaty Zuckerberg when he was on the D9 panel. Was it D9 or D10, whatever?
Yeah.
And he's basically, they're asking him about questions, and he's just sweating. It's like he's melting in front
and
of them.
And there's another guy come out to sue him as well, saying
yes. I love it. Some guy, they actually served him while he was having cake and pie or something like that at some restaurant, and basically served him. And this guy is now saying that he actually owns 84% of Facebook.
Yeah.
And he's taken, Zuckerberg has basically said there's no grounds for it. But it's enough that the court froze Facebook from selling or transferring any assets.
I know, but to be 100% fair to Zuckerberg, I do have to say that once you get a really successful thing like this, it was maybe talked around with friends and all that. Mm. It's the person who put it into action.
Dude, it's that line
you
that he says.
You can't copyright an idea.
Well, it's that line that he actually says in the trailer where that guy says, if you had created Facebook, you would have created Facebook.
That's
it's
right.
It's that whole line. It's like,
exactly.
I got to it first.
Yeah.
That's right.
And like, I'm expecting this movie to paint a relatively brutal picture, but the truth is, he's a business
guy.
Well,
considering that it's actually considering that the book's source is written by one of the guys who got fucked over by him, basically, because...
What do we expect?
and the book is very good. I mean, the book is fantastic, but it is one-sided because it's about a guy who basically said, we helped design this, and then Zuckerberg took all the glory, basically, you know?
Mm. Look, dude, honestly, I don't even care if the story's true or not true. I just think it's going to make a really epic story.
And the script. Just to hear Aaron Sorkin.
And you can already hear the quotable quotes coming out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
It's like, Sorkin is such a good writer. I mean, for those who don't know, Aaron Sorkin was the creator of West Wing and the primary writer in West Wing. Sports Night.
Studio.
He wrote The American President, Studio 60
Studio
on the Sunset Strip.
60, yeah.
The dialogue. His dialogue is second to none. Mm. Only the only other writer I can think of who comes close to him is Joss Whedon. Sorkin is by far probably my favorite writer in working.
And fast dialogue. That's what I like,
fast,
too.
Fast, energetic. And Fincher has got a definite eye. Mm-hmm. And so you put a Sorkin script in Fincher's hands. It's being produced by Kevin Spacey. You know, it's Kevin Spacey's company. So it's the same company who made 21. Mm. And you just sit there and go, this has got the hallmark of a top-flight film. What's his name? The singer,
Justin
Timberlake, playing the founder of Napster, which also was destroyed by the courts. So this has just got hit all over.
And you know what? Like, I'm really excited to see him in another major role. Like, see Justin Timberlake on screen, because after Alpha Dog Man, I actually really want to see this guy's career take off as a serious actor, because he was amazing in that film. So I'm really looking forward to see both him and the guy that's playing Zuckerberg. Both of them, I'm really, really keen to see where they take this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. It's supposed to come out in, I think it's October. Mm. So I'll be there. We will be reviewing that because it's fantastic looking. All right, this is the last little bit of information we have. This surfaced last night that I can think of. It may have come out a day earlier than that. I don't know. This is the first look at Green Lantern.
It lives!
Well,
now, Green Lantern is the Martin Campbell film starring Ryan Reynolds. And what we talked about on the show several months ago is there's no physical costume. There are actually, the entire costume is CG.
Really?
The reason they did this is because it's supposed to be an alien entity, alien costume anyway, so they decided to CG the costume to do something different. It's designed by a costume designer and everything, just like a real costume, but then created. And so he's doing the whole show in basically a motion capture suit, and then they've CG'd the costume over him. And now that I've actually seen it, I hate it.
Oh,
so here okay. it is, Josh. Here is Green Lantern.
Meh.
Now, I don't like it. I don't mind the body so much, but the face, if you look at the high res, and we'll have this on the website so you can have a look at it, but if you look at the high res version, the mask looks painted on. It actually has no discernible edge. It just kind of is, his face is green.
It's taken so long to get this. I don't know.
So I just, it does nothing for me. And so I look at it and just go, yeah. The piece of fan art that we showed on the show 6 months ago, which was somebody created a fan version of Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern, looks so good. And you sit there and go, they should have gone with that. This doesn't look like Green Lantern to me. I'm sorry. Mm. It just doesn't work. What's the chat room think? They're still talking about something else.
Right. I really like him, but I don't know. I worry.
Oh, the comments were brutal. This was on the Entertainment Weekly website, and the comments were brutal. They're all basically saying, who cares? I want Deadpool. Who cares? I want Deadpool.
Wow.
Then everybody was just basically saying, who cares? I want Deadpool. You know, where's Deadpool?
I think they've really lost their way with putting stars in iconic roles. Mm. I really think they have to look at
that. I
agree
with the Richard Donner philosophy. Richard Donner, when he made Superman, yes. said it has to be an unknown.
I agree.
Because you have to get rid of the expectation of the person.
Absolutely.
So that person becomes the character.
I agree.
And we've gone completely the opposite
it's
direction.
It's always bothered me, star casting like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare it
unknown
works.
So that they can be Green Lantern.
That's right.
Rather than be Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see what happens. The current crop of Marvel films are all name stars. So it's just the way they're doing
it. No, this is, and with his ring, I summon Captain
Planet. Oh, Earth, Wind, Fire, Green! Oh, Moopy-Doo says Ryan Reynolds to destroy another comic character. Oh, brutal. Look, I don't blame him for Wolverine. I blame everybody else.
I don't blame him for Deadpool, because when he was actually able to do anything, he was actually really good. It's just when they closed his mouth, they took away Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's right.
And my favorite was him when he did the, cock-sucking... Okay, I'm not allowed.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You cock-sucking thunder cunt.
It's a quote from Blade 3.
And I really like when he plays that, that edge. I won't want to see him being good guy.
No. I want to see him play Deadpool. Everyone wants to see him play Deadpool.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's get into this film review.
Why? Let's forget it.
Hey, film review, it sucked. Let's go home.
All right. Let's do this properly. Okay, this is what
first
we're
of all, why is it called Night?
I'll come back to that.
Let him do
up.
This thing okay. where he tells
Let's
everybody
lead
about
up to this. Him. Let's say that the film this week was Night and Day, directed by James Mangold and written by Patrick O'Neill. It stars Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, Peter Skarsgård, Viola Davis, Mark Blucas, Maggie Grace, Jordy Mola, and Paul Dano, who I'm sure all had better things to do with their time. Now, I've written here, because the film is fairly incomprehensible. I didn't write the synopsis this week. I actually went to the official webpage and I got their synopsis because I couldn't do it. I couldn't write a synopsis for this. So this is from Night and Day Movie.
This is going to be good.
Nightanddaymovie.com. Yeah. So, guys, this is what we watched.
Okay. All right.
In the sexy action comedy Night and Day, Tom Cruise is a covert agent sent on a mission he was never meant to complete. I didn't get that.
Hold up. Stop. Stop.
Point of order.
Read that last line.
Tom Cruise is a covert agent sent on a mission he was never meant to complete.
Okay, wait. He wasn't sent on a mission. He was on a mission. And he was supposed to complete it, but then the other guy...
All right, we'll come back to that. All right.
Okay, so first line is a fail. No, sorry, the first line fails immediately.
Mission he was never meant to complete, and Cameron Diaz is a woman caught between the agent and those he claims set him up. That's right. We got that part.
Okay, yeah, no, that part's right.
As their globe-trotting adventure erupts into a maze of double-crosses, close escapes, and false identities...
Wait, what were the double-crosses? Who double-crossed him?
Fitzgerald.
No, because Fitzgerald was never on his side.
They come to realize that all they can count on is each other.
When do they decide that?
Oh, dear God.
All right, so that's their official synopsis.
That was written before the movie was made.
Probably. Let's have a look at the trailer real quick, and then we're going to discuss this. So here is the trailer for Night and Day.
I want to talk about this guy.
Sorry about that.
Excuse me.
He was like some sort of secret agent or something.
Oh. Maybe I didn't make it clear enough, but we're gonna have to stick together.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
This is the guy.
I'm the guy.
This is the guy. I'm the guy.
Yes. Johnny, for your own safety, whatever happens, please stay in the booth.
What are you talking about?
Everybody get down. No one follows us, or I kill myself and then her. Rodney, Rodney!
Shot you through and through. No bone, nowhere near the femoral artery. It's all good.
Probably get a promotion.
Good?
Some people are gonna come looking for you now.
They'll tell you I'm mentally unstable, violent, and dangerous. It'll all sound very convincing.
I'm already convinced.
Till a week ago, Roy Miller was the most trusted covert agent in the world.
What happened a week ago?
Full-blown break with reality. Why didn't he kill you?
I think he liked me.
Hey, dude! It's a beautiful dress! 1 second!
Out there on your own, your life expectancy is like here. With me, it's here. Without me, here. With me, without me. With me, without me.
He's been playing you. He's a spy. That's what he does.
I'm sorry. It's reflex.
I just don't know what to believe.
In my opinion, sometimes things happen for a reason. On three.
Ready?
One.
Sorry. I panicked.
What number would you like?
Three. Yeah, let's just stick with three. It's good.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now.
Dirty derp Scientology. Well said, movie.
Okay, we got a hot chat room today. Let me just tell you, there.
Can
all
I just
over.
Say up front? Do right. You remember when I made the vow that I'd never see another Sharon Stone movie unless she died in the first
Tom
few
Cruise
minutes?
Now?
Yes, okay. He's on the list, right, and maybe Cameron.
Okay. All right. Now that you've got that out of your system, we're going to go into spoiler territory almost straight away because we really want to just tear this.
You can't
apart.
Talk about this movie. Though.
So let's just get this.
The whole movie's
let's
spoiled.
Just get this off our chest because I think this is going to be fast. Would you recommend it to anybody?
Oh God, no! But let's ask. I think the best way to start for me personally is just to ask questions. I'll start, Josh. Okay. Why was it called Night and Day?
I don't know. That's a very
good
question.
No, you just ask a question.
I'll just ask
you
a question?
Yeah, let's see how many...
Well, I don't want to wreck the one that we already came up with. Okay, why was she on the plane?
I got a better question. Why did he get on the plane?
Why did he get on the plane? Right, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's another one we'll come back to.
Okay, how did she get him out of the hospital?
That's spoiler territory. Hold on that one.
No, not really, dude.
No,
that's
because it's a really big...
I have a much bigger question, though, which is why was Viola Davis in this film after getting nominated for an Oscar for Doubt?
Because that's a kiss of death. Everybody knows a kiss of death is a supporting actress.
All right. Now...
Why did it go from night to day... in 10 minutes when they captured her and took her back.
Yeah, that's a real X-Men 3 question.
That was fantastic. That was a great one. Let's ask the one we were just talking about then, which is why did he need her at all by putting something in her bag when
we'll get into details in just 1 second. Let's just say that, just in case there's...
Kellison said maybe the double cross was on the audience.
let's just encapsulate this down to a 2 second review, and then we'll tear this thing apart, okay? 2 second review says that this film is a lackluster script with annoying leads and makes very little sense, and I would not recommend
this
it.
This film
anyone.
Is worse than working with Edward Norton. No? Am I right?
No, that's good.
Yeah, okay,
I like that.
You.
It's
okay.
brutal. It's and just Josh. Stabbing. This movie was illogical. It was irreverent. It made little to no sense. It has a smattering of good scenes that are not made up for in any way by any sort of plot arc. So by the end of it, it is just a complete waste of time.
And I will go so far, and I hit Josh with these the other day, and he said, ooh, low blow. But I will go so far as to say it's not the worst film I've ever seen. There are worse even this year.
True.
But it's not good.
I've seen Butterfly with Pia Zadora.
No. I saw Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp.
God.
I also saw Public Enemies with Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Both of these films would be far worse films. All right. But this is
but
still
not a
good
film. But it does make you
film.
Think. It makes it, as Josh said, it makes you keep thinking, doesn't it? You keep coming up with more questions. And I had this vision of how they wrote the script. Yeah. They just vomited on the table, you know, and then they picked out a corn and a pea and and they threw them all together, you know?
I actually think you're right, Harper. I just think they had a pile of words and they just chucked it onto a wall covered in
And
glue.
It was script writing for dummies.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they said, we need this, we need that.
Yeah, exactly.
And Charlie's raised a very good point, which is that he's only a few years out from making MI3, and that was pretty awesome. I agree. I really like Mission Impossible 3. And somebody has also said, I just watched Mission Impossible 2 recently. Wow, I don't remember being so terrible. Yes, Mission Impossible 2 is awful.
Okay, yeah, fine. But, coming back...
Back to this film. This film is awful. This Tom is on Mission Impossible 2 territory.
And Tom is creepy. I'm sorry, but he's become like a Stepford person. He's vacant. Everything that he does, there's nothing there.
Okay, so now let's say, spoilers from this point onwards, if you do still plan to see Night and Day, which I know Snake Oz is, because he's taking his wife.
Why?
I do apologize to you in advance on behalf of anybody who works in the movie industry for the night you were about to have. Mm. All right?
Because you see, Dave, I left that cinema and I agreed with you. I was like, you know, it wasn't that bad. It isn't the worst film I've seen. But like Marin, I haven't stopped thinking about it. And it is freaking terrible.
It is freaking terrible.
The more I actually think about it, every scene between the action bored the crap out of me.
Very true.
I was away. I had checked my phone like 6 times. I don't do that in movies. Okay. I did that.
And what I do,
I didn't care.
And what I do also is I start thinking about who would have done it better. Because I'm sorry, Cameron is over the klutzy bit,
dude,
and she's not cheesy.
She's not attractive
Zoe Deschanel,
at all.
She's
anymore.
Not, no. She, it's bad lighting and bad makeup. I have to say that because they both look really
like,
bad.
They both look like leather handbags.
They do both look really bad with lines. Puffy and I don't know.
And they make
puffy.
The one mistake that you cannot make in films, which is you make characters in a film which is about the relationship between two characters completely without any emotion towards each other.
No.
There's no chemistry at all, and so the film fails.
For instance, let me say Ryan Reynolds and Zoe Deschanel.
Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
It would have been adorable. It was just
they should have done that instead of the proposal, and it would have been a better film, you know?
Yes.
Dude, even if they had changed the girl, sorry, but that's all you would have needed to do.
She's all over the cutesy clutch.
Let's state for the record that Tom Cruise was not the worst.
No, he was not, surprisingly.
No, he was actually not the problem in this film.
She doesn't come across as ditzy, she comes across as stupid, and my favorite, I have to say, and this is not a spoiler, but my favorite part in the whole movie is when she looks at the door of the airplane, the cockpit door. Everybody on the plane is quiet. There's only 12 of them. They're quiet. We won't tell you why. But anyway, the door is slamming open back and forth, back and forth, back and forth without an air steward, whatever you call them now, cabin crew in sight. Back and forth, back and slamming. I don't know the last time you saw a cockpit door slamming.
No.
The first words out of my mouth would not have been, oh, are we landing? Oh, yeah, we always let the cockpit door open when we... I mean, it makes her look so stupid, that line.
There's a lot of lines like that.
And she can't carry it off.
So, I would say, Snake, if you can talk your wife into going to see something else tonight, do so, because you're not going to enjoy this. Oh. Now,
Toy Story 3, yes, you should go see that.
Yeah,
that
go see that.
Again, if you've seen it, you know.
Isn't Katie Holmes the Stepford wife?
She doesn't look as much as he does, trust me.
Oh, I see. They're talking about something else. All right, forget it. All right. From this point onwards, it's spoiler zone. So if you haven't seen Night and Day and you don't want it spoiled, you might
want
to pause this and come back to it later on.
I don't
know why you would, but anyway.
But you couldn't.
There are going to be people out there who probably still want to go see this. So just
we don't know why it's called Night and Day, and if anybody does, let us know.
We are going to put some spoilers in here now. It's a free-for-all. First thing is, let's answer the one overriding question, which is Josh's. Why did he need her in the first place?
No, we don't know.
We made the connection. Mirren and I were actually talking about this.
Because he can't carry a film on his own.
Because he needs to get the battery through. Now, hear me out before you comment. He needs to get the battery through, so he slips it into her bag because she has all those pipes and mechanical
things. But she doesn't know.
Me through.
Okay.
So she's got all the carburetors and everything in her bag, so it would probably just be able to slide through because she can talk her way through it. However, as Mirren said, the bigger question is, he didn't know that! He never saw it.
Just because he heard it clunking doesn't mean he knew what was in it.
So,
I'm sorry, but that doesn't even make sense. The only thing that I could think of was that maybe they would have flagged him because they were obviously watching him.
Maybe there's that too.
Maybe he didn't. Guy at the thing would have busted him.
Now, the bigger question is the question that
how do you
we're
miss
talking, which is, he says to her, sometimes things happen for a reason so that she doesn't get on the plane, right? Yeah. So that she won't get on the plane. So he knows what's going to happen on that plane, right? Yeah. The bigger question is, why did he get on the plane?
Make any sense.
He knows that's what's
coming.
I'm going
to have to kill everyone and then land the plane, so I better get on it now. What? It made no sense.
Oh, dude, don't worry.
What's your motivation, Tom?
I'm not adding to that conversation because it's so incredibly mind-blowingly stupid that I just have nothing to add to that. It's just wrong. The very concept of him just standing up and then everyone on the plane. That's what I love more than anything. It's just like everyone on the plane is a bad guy. You know, the waiter, the five guys. And I'm sorry, if there's that many of them on the plane at the same time, why didn't they all just stand up? Seriously, he can be the best superhero in the world.
They were polite.
We have established that they have no problem with killing off innocent people because they actually said that she's in danger and blah, blah, blah. Why wouldn't they just stand up and kill them both?
I know.
Or blow the plane up.
Why did he get on the plane?
Put three people on, jump out the back of the aircraft, and blow it the crap up.
But you have to admit the casting of the little nerdy scientist.
I liked him.
He was cute.
I loved him.
And funnily enough, just finished watching him in There Will Be Blood.
He was
the preacher in that. And I mean, with such a strong performance the first time, it's like watching him then, I was like, look, I love you just on principle, but wow, you're really odd looking.
This film
was a gaping chasm, chasm of incomprehensibility. It really was. It was just everything. You sit there and go, okay, they're now over here. They're now. It's like, okay, he drugged her.
They go to the Lost Island.
They go to this little Lost Island. But he drugs her, and we get this whole like montage thing of him going, you know, taking her and throwing her out of planes with parachutes and stuff. And all I can think is, why? And he said because it was easier, because she would have panicked. It's easier to carry this lifeless dead body around.
The pilot didn't see anything wrong with him, or was he flying that plane as well?
Also, if he's a secret agent, he's murdered an entire plane worth of people and so on and so forth. Why is he on the radio trying to get a landing thing?
There's that too. And the other question I have, of course, is when they're on the little island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Where is the cell tower?
Thank you! I know!
Oh my God! I know!
That one just blew my mind. Because like when she was originally on the phone and walking away, I'm like, is she like in the Caribbean or something?
It's like, where the hell is
she
going to
walk
tower?
Through the bushes and find like a hotel or something? And then it's like, oh no, it's an island with no discernible land anywhere in the distance.
And no cell tower.
And whoever wrote on her phone 103 missed calls, whichever writer was responsible for that, the only witty thing in the whole, and it goes too fast, you can't see it. But I thought that was cute.
I thought that was cute. All right, let's talk about this incomprehensible ending now. All right, so all is said and done, we get to the point where
it starts to resemble To Catch a Thief.
Well, the whole film
we've got
felt
the
like
French
to catch
film,
a thief,
French music in the background, and balconies, and in where are we? We were in.
Now wait a minute, we have to take into account age. Have you seen To Catch a Thief, the Alfred Hitchcock film? Mm-hmm. Yes, good.
With Cary Grant,
and Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly.
Oh yes. Sorry.
All right. There are shots in this film that actually almost mimic that film.
Even though they don't go to France.
No. It's Europe, you know? it's Europe, you know, something like that. Anyway, but it hasn't got any of the charm or romance or
chemistry
or charisma of Cary Grant or anything else or Hitchcock style. No. So it just falls flat. All right, so we get all is said and done. He's now in hospital. He's proven the other guy was a traitor. He's proven that he was the good guy in all of this. And then they're going to take him away and kill him?
Yes, because he said, if the secret words are, we're going to take you to a secure place, that means they're going to kill
you. For your
protection. For your protection, which they say to him, and then they leave. Now, I would have thought he'd be under heavy guard, but no, she can get him out. By unhooking him from all his machines.
And carrying his...
Which, of course, wouldn't make any noise.
Wouldn't make any noise to the nurses.
And she rolls right past a guard.
Oh, yeah, I love that guard. The guard that she's just like, he's dead. Go this way.
And he's dead, but he's moving because she said she should be quiet. As she's approaching the guard, she goes, should be quiet, right?
And then she obviously carries him into her
because
car.
He's a dead, lifeless body like she was. And then we have the little montage and the whole thing mimics. And you sit there and go...
Because I call these the L&B movies, the leap and a bound. Only this one just had too many.
No, Moofy Doo, this bad isn't even so bad, it's good. It's just bad.
No, it's just bad.
It's actually, you know, it makes the worst crime, which we've talked about on the show before. Mirren summed it up for this. It's mediocre crap. It's boring.
Because when they don't know how to get out of it, they just go, okay, next scene, we got out of it.
That's right.
And also, I just don't understand any government in the world that would just kill off the best operative because he did his job.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm sorry. Can we just dwell on that for just 10 seconds?
But I'm not sure we're supposed to assume that. Maybe we're supposed to assume
the guy has saved the world, managed to keep the kid alive who can make the U.S. this battery that is, you know, going to revolutionize the world and probably, you know, build giant robots that will eventually... Right time,
exactly. Oh, yeah, we'll come back to that. Hold on to that thought.
So we've got that, and he's done that. He's managed to save the kid who can build the blueprints to the thing. He's killed the rogue agent.
The traitor, yes.
He has actually really done nothing...
The arms dealer. He got rid of the arms dealer. Yeah,
and killed an arms dealer.
Yep.
And you know too much about what?
There's nothing to know anymore.
Well, we didn't understand it. Why would anybody else understand
it? It's like you know too much, so we're going to take you to a safe place. And it's like...
What? I know. It doesn't make any sense. What?
Don't look for logic in this. You just can't.
Why would anybody sign up for this crap?
Charlie's actually said, in reference to Moopy Doos, it's not so bad, it's good. Charlie has actually made comments, said, it tries to be that and can't.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It doesn't succeed on any way. Now, very quickly about that, then we're going to do our housekeeping.
Charlie's saying, you guys have made me loathe myself for even having spent money on this.
Oh, boy, did I feel that way. Yeah. I want my time
If
back.
It wasn't our duty to report these things to you, boy, we would have felt bad too. All right, the battery that's overheating, right? How did he know that it was going to explode?
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, but if I had a battery in my pocket that was, like, massively unstable...
And if you knew it was going to explode at some point, why would you be carrying that?
Dude, he's obviously pulled this out sometime leading up to this to figure out that, you know, like, it's dangerously close to exploding. And just looked at this battery that's, like, eating itself... From the outside in, it's like on fire, and he's just gone, should get rid of that real soon.
And why is it called Night and Day?
Now that's the last thing, and then we're going to get finish this up. We find out that his real name is Matthew Knight, not the name that he's been giving her. So okay,
not the AFL star.
So there's the Knight. And does she have a real name?
We don't know.
It's like, for some reason, it's called Night and Day, but we have no day ever given as a reference in this film.
I've got to know.
Is her name? Did we get it? Last name?
We did. It wasn't Day. Havens. That's right. It was June Havens. That's right.
It made no sense.
Havens. Can we somehow work that?
No.
June
is a period.
I think it was Night having a day.
Not in America. It's not.
Not in America. Okay. So we're then as well. But what about in the countries they were in?
No, wait a minute. June is a period of... No.
So June is winter. Is okay. Summer.
June is summer.
Yeah.
June is winter
June
here.
June is summer.
I think it was Mr. Knight having a day, you know?
He was just having a day.
It
was just a day. Just a day, you know?
Oh, no. I'm not.
No. Look, best
not
thing...
Really.
Best,
yeah, that's no, just...
Best thing in the entire film was... The most unlikely source, which was Mark Blucas, who was quite unbearable in Buffy, but was quite funny in this playing meathead boyfriend, firefighter.
Riley and Buffy.
He played Riley and Buffy, and he played the meathead boyfriend.
He plays
of her,
meathead well.
And he was really charming. And but they spoil it in the trailer because it's all in the trailer with his little thumbs up and everything, which is actually quite funny.
Yes.
And it was a really nice moment between him and Tom
Cruise.
Well,
they didn't have many moments to show.
And that's it. It was gone.
No, it was a complete waste of my time.
And Movie News says, clearly, they just Googled possible movie names. Well done, Whoopi. Very good.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and Charlie says polar opposite personalities, maybe.
Good try.
Reaching too hard.
That's not bad, though.
It's not bad. All right, we're going to wrap this up. I think that's it. Don't go see this movie if you get a chance. Oh. If you have a chance to go to the cinema this weekend, go see something else.
Yeah. Even if you have no life, this movie won't help. I mean, really.
Look, if you are curious about this movie at all, or you're a diehard Tom Cruise or Cameron Diaz fan, and you really have to see this film, wait for DVD.
Yeah.
Or even better, wait for it to show on TV.
Chopped up to be even more incomprehensible.
Maybe the commercial breaks might give you a break to think about bits in between it. I don't know. Just whatever you do. Charlie says, I'm stretching. He knows. All right, let's wrap this up. We got a little bit of housekeeping to do, and then we're going to get ourselves out of here. We're going to say, first of all, if you agree or disagree with anything we say, and in particular about the movie review, please
tell us why you liked. That would crack me up. Tell me how it was.
By all means, send us email at feedback@geekactually.com or drop us a voicemail. And for our live chat room, I do actually have it for the screen. We'll bring it up. You can drop us a voicemail at 02-8011-3167. We do, this voicemail does do three different shows, so make sure you specify which show it's for and keep it to about a minute long if you can. And we'll play them on the show. So please, give us feedback. We'd love to know what you thought of Night and Day. You can get all your Geek Actually swag at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. We will have a new range for all the new shows. And as we said in the tech show earlier on, we have some new artwork coming from Josh Spencer, which is just brilliant. And hopefully we'll do some stuff with that as well. I can't wait to start using that as our new cover art once he's finished it. You can follow us on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/geekactually, before Google comes in and destroys Facebook. So we'll see what happens there. And make sure you do check out our other shows, which is, of course, our Tech Actually, which we recorded earlier, and the Geek Actually After Show, which we are recording after this. These shows are all on the feeds on iTunes, just do a search, and the feed links will be up on the site if you don't want to go through iTunes. And, of course, we're live. We start recording this
sort
show.
Sort of, yes.
We're live. I didn't say we were alive.
We live.
We start recording the entire show structure at 12 p.m. on Saturdays, Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. And it goes for an hour tech, hour film, hour after show. So you can watch the whole thing in one row, or we chop it up and put it out onto the various feeds for a podcast. Now, we do have a couple of friends that we're going to promote. We didn't promote them in the tech show because they're not really tech related, but we will give them a push here. And the first one, of course, is our good friend Charlie, who is in our chat room right now. And Charlie is from the Movie Fan Cast, formerly the Movie Fan House, which you can find at moviefanhouse.com or search for it on iTunes. And Charlie, thank you very much for fixing that feed. We put out a call last week that one of his files was broken, and it now works, and I have it, so I will listen to it now. Thank you very much. It's a podcast by fans for fans and is a lot of fun to listen to. The other movie podcast that we recommend is The Real Junkies, R-E-E-L Junkies, at weekendronan.com or search for it on iTunes. And these guys are a hoot. They get drunk and do movie reviews, and it's very funny. I really enjoy
them. Best way to do them.
I enjoy their work a lot. They're just a bunch of guys who drink tequila and review movies.
Why can't
movies.
We do that?
Because I have to control this big complicated right. board. All right. And, of course, Josh here is the co-founder and co-host of their podcast and co-creator of RawDLC.com, which
yes,
is
sir.
The gaming gaming podcast and site.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Josh.
Oh, all right. Well, DLC Live is...
all right. Thank you, Josh. And
Give me two seconds. I'm going to lead into the other part.
Oh, okay.
Is, of course. Yes, it is a gaming website, but more importantly, we, the whole crew, me, Dave, and Nathan, have all been supporting a charity event which started last night. I started playing at 10. I played through to 4. It is continuing for two whole days, 48 hours, and it is raising money for Child's Play. They were over $2,000 last time I checked. We need support and money, so if you're watching this live, please jump in. Throw in $5, $10, it all adds up. We need all the support we can. It's closing off on Sunday.
So. And this podcast, if you're an audio listener, is going up on the same day. It goes up this afternoon, which means that you still have one day to get over there.
You still have one day.
Mm. Okay,
oh,
so
no wonder you're tired.
Yes, he's been gaming all night. Now, we also had a quick note. Charlie from the Movie Fan Cast has thrown into the chat room here. Also look out for Brad's new show, Big Bad Brad. Brad Anderson, who used to be one of the co-hosts on Movie Fan House, has a new show called Right This Instant. And it should have the pilot episode out in a week or so, covering The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yeah, we reviewed that one. Good to hear Brad back on the air. I miss Brad. Mm-hmm. So Big Bad Brad. Where is Brad? He never comes in the chat room anymore. He used to come in the chat room all the time. Okay. Anything you'd personally like to pimp, Mirren?
Put Josh out in the street.
Yeah. Really. I knew
he
it was
could be
coming.
The new hung. No.
I had to point the finger up before you even said that. I was like, don't.
No. Just if you're interested, if you need coaching, go to Mirren at mirrenlee.com.
There you go, mirrenlee.com. Fantastic. And Josh, where can people find you?
You know where they can find it. And I don't want to say it because you cut me off again.
No, I won't
cut you off this time, I promise.
RawDLC.com.
There you go. And Shane's been very quiet in the corner, but you can follow Shane on Facebook.
I think he fell asleep.
Shane Robert Gregory on Facebook. But once again, if you are following individual people who are guests on this show on Facebook, please be aware, always put down that you heard about them on the show. Because if you just follow them and they don't know who you are, they're probably going to reject you. But if you say, I'm a listener to the show, then they probably will accept you. So just always, Celine was the one who made sure that we started to stress that. Mm. Because she said, if you just follow her, she's just going to say no. Yeah. All right? So make sure you do stress where you heard it from us. And, of course, you can follow me at geekactually.com, of course. But also on Facebook, facebook.com/geekactually, or twitter.com/DavidMcVeigh. I think we're done.
You done?
We're done.
I think we've
done.
Got everything out. We're running a little bit over time, but that's okay. It is only our first show. We're only a little bit over time.
And we really had to slam Night and Day in a big way.
We needed to slam dunk that bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
As a new tradition on the film component, now that it's separated out from tech, we are always going to end the show where possible. It's not always going to be possible, but we always try and get as close as we can. But where possible, we're going to try and end with a piece of the score from the film that we just reviewed.
Oh, God.
So we're always going to go
Which
out.
Part? It's a mess.
So here's a little bit of the music for Night and Day to take us out. This is the score by John Powell. In the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies.
Except Night and Day.
All of life's questions are answered in the movies except Night and Day. I was about to say, nothing is answered. In fact, there are so many more questions.
If you have any answers, please email us.
And we'll see you all next week.
Oh, my God, dude. No, just...
Oh, wait. What? Late breaking news.
As we finish off, I found an actual interview with one of the people on the producers, and they literally don't answer the question. They were asked, why is it called Night and Day? And it says... Cruz goes by the name Roy Miller in the film. His parents, who we meet briefly, their last name is Knight. Official answer.
They knew that part.
No explanation.
They don't know.
We knew that part. We want to know why it's called Day.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know, but I just thought I should share that apparently no one on the set knew.
David will research that this week and get back to you.
We will look into this next week. I want to read an interview with the writer of this film and say, why did you call it Night and Day?
Good one.
All right. Guys.
Bye.
See you all next week.
Bye.